Welcome back to Pappas in Cockeysville. We're doing a crab cake row, cup of Super Bowl. Mike Rosenfeld's riding shotgun from Web Connection. He's our chief digital officer. I apologize. John Brothers is in the car from T Row. I apologize. I've had guests lined up here. I've got Layla's Gift coming by next hour. Andrew's Laughing Gas as well. And the UMCS Food Pantry. We stuck to sports last hour, Mike Rosenfeld. I'm going to stick to sports here momentarily. Robbie Jr. is here from Robbie's First Base in Postal USA. I stopped by and gave them some love last week and just said, hello, how you doing? And then they invited themselves onto the program. And then Robbie Sr. said he was going to come and didn't come. He told me all along that you would be the guy here. So why is he ducking me, your old man?
Well, number one, it's hard to get Robbie Sr. out of 21093. And we're in a different zip code. It's always tough to get him. And, you know, I'm a very available individual.
I know you are. Why? How much did you get for that Angelo's bat while we're on this thing here?
I want to say we got $750. Well,
you ain't getting that from me. I mean, I ain't getting that from me. Tell them what you had, because you had a one-of-a-kind item.
We had a Peter Angelos autographed bat that was inscribed The Boss. So he not only was the bat signed by Angelos, but he inscribed The Boss on it.
For himself.
And it was a Louisville Slugger game model bat, you know, like a player would
have. He must have signed it in 1995 or something.
But I tell you what, right? Though, you know, people walk past that bat, and they made jokes about, you know, Peter Angelos this, Peter Angelos that. You can't get an autographed bat of an owner of a Major League Baseball team. That bat was one of the most rare bats that we've ever had in our store. And I'm talking, we've had Mickey Mantle bats and Ted Williams bats and all these other guys' bats. That Peter Angelos bat, I've had one in the 35 years we've been in business. So you can people can say what they want about Peter Angelos, but that bat was a hell of a collectible.
I'm a man who's in demand, Robbie. Create supply. I mean, let me tell you how business works. You have supply, you have demand, and you know you didn't have supply, and then you had demand, and then I sell it for $1.8 billion, dude. Like the amazing part of this, I was thinking about the other day. I wrote the Peter Principles, and Jen got sick, and I stopped writing it when he got Masson, right? Because that was the real home run, right? The home run was, I'm going to get 75% of this television money, and it's what makes a thing worth $1.8 billion at this point, right? I stopped writing it in 14 because she got sick. They had already been to the playoffs in 12, not in 13. Mm-hmm. And I thought for sure when she was fighting, she had a transplant, I thought they're going to win the World Series. I thought the book, I thought the Peter Principles was going to end with, after all of this awful, he wins a World Series. He's not going to win a World Series. You know, they're not going to win, you know?
Sure.
So for me, it's kind of a sad ending for them and for the fans for all we've been through for 30 years. That all this awfulness, you know what it's going to amount to? Two rich kids.
Well,
I mean, really, that's going to be the upshot. All the money, all the awfulness, two rich kids.
And that's, I have to totally disagree. You know, even though we've had the lack of winning, you know, we've got one of the best ballparks in the country. You know, we're in the right division. You know, like all that talk that they were saying about the Orioles maybe moving to Nashville or moving somewhere. Who would possibly move this franchise? We're in the best part of the country you can possibly be in. We're in the best division you can possibly be in. We've got the richest history. What are you going to move to Nashville for? They don't have nothing. We've got Frank Robinson, Eddie Murray, Cal Ripken, Brooks Robinson.
Cleveland Browns would have said they had Jim Brown and like all that too.
Or the Colts, Johnny Unitas.
Sure, yeah. Sure. We had Johnny
We've got this right.
I'm not saying I disagree with you.
We've got this right now. You know what I'm saying? And there's no reason for them. We've got something that other people don't have, other cities can't replicate. We've got history. And look, this year, this opening day is going to be the biggest opening day the Orioles have had since the first opening day at Camden Yards. It's going to be the biggest opening day since 92. There hasn't been this much excitement about the team.
I agree with
since
that.
Since 92. There's no doubt. And
that's because it's under new ownership.
Sure.
Because it could never be like that with Peter.
Well, no, because it was excitement last year, too.
Not for the community, not for a real buy-in.
Well, I think that people...
Not for the kind of growth they need, real money.
I agree with that. But, you know, for the everyday person that just thinks that, okay, Angelos is gone, everything's going to change. Yes, the new ownership coming in, yeah, it's going to be a brighter day. But the last 2 years... You've seen a different side. You've seen, ever since Elias has taken over and run this club, you've seen an
upside. If Angelos weren't selling the team, Corbin Burns wouldn't be in an Oriole uniform.
Right, I would agree with that. I totally agree with that.
Because Sean wasn't about $17 million more important.
100% agree with that.
That's not a decision you ever would have made.
No doubt about it. 100% agree with that.
So we were already bearing the fruit of the freedom.
Yep. Yeah.
I'm seeing.
Yep. And you know, for as miserable as that Ravens loss was, you know, to be able to bounce back the next week and get the news about the team being bought, and then following up with Burns being signed, I mean, you know, it can't get any better than
I'm
that.
I'm going to tell you, one of my sons lives in Detroit, and when we are communicating, we just randomly do Corbin. You know, it's just just one word. You know, all's good. Yeah. You know, it's just what it's.
Badly.
It's just what you know. And I'll also tell you, because he and I, we talked in the previous segment about my kids not liking baseball for a while, but my youngest was home a little bit longer. And through this process, we just wanted to grasp onto something.
Sure.
So we called it bright spots. When we were losing 100 games, there's a bright spot there. There's a bright spot there. There's a bright spot. And I remember
that's Baltimore positive. Mm-hmm.
It is positive. But last year, we didn't – we just – it bright spot left our – because it was here. And it was time. And there was fruit, you know, worth the wait. So I mean, I hear you. And I'm with you. And I think for sure – this is going to be the biggest opening day,
and now we have guys that, you know, we don't just have, you know, an Adam Jones or a Chris Davis or, you know, somebody that only local people get excited about. We've got national names. Gunnar Henderson is a star. Adley Rutschman is a star. Jackson Holliday is going to be a star. Grayson Rodriguez, we think, is going to be a star. Corbin Burns is a star. We've got eyes. We've got guys that people know. We got household names on our team. And we got guys in the minor leagues that are ready to step up and be the same thing. We got guys knocking on the door. We got more guys that can play the positions on the field. You know what I'm saying? There's only 9 positions on the field, and we got guys ready to play in all those spots plus some. So we're in a great position because, look, we got the right owners now, we think, because they've got the money to spend. And then we've got currency and prospects. Because we can afford to get rid of a DL Hall and get rid of an Ortiz, who both of those guys are going to be in the big leagues this year. But they're expendable. We can get rid of those guys to get a Corbin Burns. Who, look, I think the Orioles will probably re-sign Corbin Burns, but they might not. But it's worth it. And look, I like having a guy that says, you know what, I'm gonna pitch my behind off.
Well, it's different than it used to be with the wall back and the money that they could sign him. In the old days, it'd be like, he wouldn't want to be here.
He wouldn't want to be here.
Yeah, he wouldn't want to be.
Yeah, he wouldn't want to be here
for a number of reasons.
Of course,
a lot of reasons.
Yeah. I mean, you know, look. The wall is major. I said for 10 years, the best free agent signing the Orioles could ever do is move the wall back. That'd be the best free agent signing they could ever do. To go get some pitching is move that wall back. And they did it, and it's helped.
Right.
And it's going to help again.
And it's going to help again. Yeah. It's going to continue to help.
Robbie Jr. is here from Robbie's First Base. We're talking charity, and Layla Skiff's going to be here. Mm-hmm. Andrew's laughing. Yeah, it's going to make me cry in the 4 o'clock hour. Mike Rosenfeld's riding shotgun. We got an hour left before 5 o'clock. Drop off canned goods on behalf of the Maryland Food Bank right here at Pappas. We'll give you a cup of Super Bowl. It is hour 39, hour 39 right now.
Man.
Yeah, hour 40. Wow. This is fun, I think. We talk about charity, and we'll get to football and the Baltimore sports and all that.
Mm-hmm.
Your business and your dad's business, I don't even know the answer to this. When did your dad start collecting memorabilia and decide? Because he was a car dealer. Mm-hmm. You know, through Dennis Colazzo. Robbie Sr. dealt cars and knew Eddie Murray and Fred Lynn was in some commercials over in there. So Chrysler's on the west side of town, right?
So here's the deal. My dad, he owned a dealership called All-Star Dodge Chevrolet.
That's right.
Back in the mid-'80s. The pitchmen for the dealership were Brooks Robinson, Fred Lynn, and Eddie Murray. So we always had those guys around and access to those guys for memorabilia, autographs, just close access to the players. We opened up this business as a postal business in 1989 in Timonium. All we had those guys there to do when he got out of the car business and opened up this business was just marketing, you know, just getting the business off the ground and having them in there signing some autographs, things like that. But at the time, baseball cards were popular and memorabilia became popular, and we already had access to the players, so it just became a natural business that we stepped right into.
So he wasn't a collector. You, as a kid,
I was a kid. I was a collector. So naturally, you know, I was a son, so you know, I collected stuff. He bought stuff for me. I knew the players my whole life as a little kid.
It's a beautiful father-son story, so, right? It really is.
So that was like our hobby.
I've known him since he's a kid. Yeah. I still think of you as being 17 and you're like 50 or something, right?
I'm getting there.
You're older than I think you are. How old are you?
45.
See, I mean...
Yeah, I'm getting there.
Dude, Luke's 40, 41. Barry's 39. And like,
I can't believe Barry's 39. Like,
Barry's 39, man, right?
Yeah.
So, you know Steve Tremino, right?
I don't know if I do.
Yeah, CCA. He came over and did the show the other day. And I think him as being a grown up, but he's like 37.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, he's younger than my son, but I think grown up and I think son young. You'll always be young because it's like Danny Grau, my Special Olympian here, I've known him for 25 years.
37 years old.
Wow.
And I think of him as a little boy, and he's got special needs, but he's a big man, you know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
And like you and your dad have done this thing, television, ball boys, mm-hmm. the golden thing. Like,
yep.
Plug that, and then let's talk about your philanthropy,
sure.
Because they've been using this stuff for philanthropy at, you know, big wig events at auctions
years.
Forever and ever
years.
And ever, right?
Yep. So right now we're on a TV show called King of Collectibles. It's on Netflix. It basically follows us buying and selling sports memorabilia. But what it really shows us doing is going to people's houses, accessing their collections, and taking their things on consignment to take to auction. We've been doing this for years, but now it's actually showing us do this. And you'd be surprised the things that people have in their collection. A lot of times people have things they don't even realize what they have. Nestor, you've got things that could go to auction and get serious money. You just won't get rid of anything. You want to keep it all. You want to keep all that high-end stuff that you got, don't you?
Yeah.
You don't even want to talk about it.
No, man. I got rid of a whole... You know this.
I know.
I had all of these autographed rock star stuff and old school stuff, and I was afraid of it burning down. You know, I don't have a restaurant to put my Mike Bordick jersey in. And I had a house on Kane Street that I had all my autographs 30 years ago, and, like... It's in a box, you know, and it was in a box for 30 years.
Yeah, you can't appreciate it.
I mean, I had Billy Joel interviews and Billy Joel autographs and David Bowie. Like, all this stuff's in a box, and I'm like,
yeah.
I let somebody buy it, pay a lot of money. I'll reap the reward of like, I got paid $25 a review at the Baltimore Sun in 1986. You know what I mean? It cost me $40 in gas to make $25 so that I could meet David Bowie then. So all these years later, like, I have this stuff. And I was I wanted it to be loved and displayed mm-hmm. somewhere in some sports mm-hmm. bar in Topeka or whatever. And I just wanted it not to go down in a fire.
Sure.
I mean, I had some wrecked stuff, too.
Yeah.
I had floods. I had stuff happen that I had good stuff that got wrecked.
One of the biggest things we've done over the years is we will sell memorabilia for athletes, because athletes never want to represent themselves, represent the items themselves, because people, the first thing they ask when an athlete sells something is, why do they need the money? Are they hard up for the money? Are they broke? Are they, whatever the question may be. On the show, we go to Utah and we get Karl Malone's Dream Team collection. In 92, for the first Dream Team, Karl Malone's wife went and got all the jerseys, the shorts, and the shoes from every player of the Dream Team. Everything. She got them all.
Wow.
And then Carl went and got them all autographed, and he had them displayed at his car dealership in Salt Lake City for the last 20-some years. Well, now it came time that he wanted to sell them. But Karl Malone didn't want to represent that stuff himself, and he wanted to give it to his kids, but his kids don't really appreciate sports memorabilia, and you see that a lot in this.
Yeah, my kid doesn't want
that stuff. Mm-hmm. Your kid doesn't want that.
He doesn't want my Super Bowl. He doesn't want anything.
Exactly. So what Karl Malone's kids did want was money. So, you know, we took that stuff to auction. I think the stuff brought $5 million in auction, and he divvied the money up and gave it to his kids. And you see that a lot. You see that a lot. This weekend, Unitas family is selling a lot of the Johnny Unitas's treasure memorabilia that has never been up for auction at the Super Bowl auction this weekend in Las Vegas. Same type of deal. You know, the things mean something to them, but they'd rather have the money. You know, they have the moments. They cherish the memories. They have the moments and all that stuff. So, you know, that's what King Collectibles on Netflix is about. That's what we do. Locally, what we do as far as charity business, case in point, here we go. This is a Super Bowl helmet.
That's Jamal Lewis.
Jamal Lewis. Yeah, you know your signatures. So this one's going out for auction this weekend. We're doing a big fundraiser in town this weekend. It's going to be kind of geared around the Super Bowl. And, you know, we give you the items on reserve. So I'll say this helmet.
Give me that. May I hold that up for everybody?
Yeah, sure.
Put that on
this item.
It's beautiful.
That Jamal Lewis helmet's a $300 helmet for the reserve.
Helmet, yeah.
The group is probably going to get about $1,000 for that helmet. So we'll get our $300 back, and the group will get $700. And that's how we donate our money to charity. If it doesn't sell, they just simply give it back to us. And that's how our program works. It's simple because, you know, people want to be able to walk away with something. They want to donate.
What's that Super Bowl program? I own that at one point. Let me see it.
Which one?
Is that a new art?
This is a new one. This was last year's, 2 years ago Super Bowl. That's the Rams and the Bengals.
And Super Bowl V ticket stub? What is that?
Yep, that's a Super Bowl V ticket. That's a replica ticket, though.
Oh, it's a replica. Uh-huh. Okay.
And then you got the 58 championship game replica ticket on the other side.
Ooh.
It's all right. It's all right. You're good. It's a replica. That's why I brought it.
Nestor's dropping millions of dollars worth of stuff here.
Well, this is probably a $400 or $500 ticket, right?
If it's the original ticket, yeah.
Yeah. And this is a Rams. This was
2 years ago.
This is the last Super Bowl they let me into.
No.
I tell you what.
You know what? I'm going to gift that to you, Nestor.
I'm going
to
cry next hour.
That's right.
I'm going to leave you with that. Since that's the last Super Bowl you ever win, I'm going to leave you with that. That's going to be my parting gift for you today.
I don't want that.
Come on, dude.
You've been to my place. Do I have enough ish?
You do.
Uh-huh.
You do.
Yeah, I do.
You do.
I got enough ish.
I tell you what, you should tell people you have the Super Bowl program.
Do you know, about this, right?
I
the
don't.
Media guy.
So John Stedman back in 1984, 85 said to me, because we were, the News American was going out of business and it was a mess. It was a bunch of stuff. Senior, I want you to clean that out. Anything you find in there, you know, he wanted a few things. Like, you find this and that. And I got it all together and I sorted it out. And he's like, this is my stuff. That you love sports. You take that stuff for doing it for me. I appreciate it. So Stedman gives me a media guide from the first AFL-NFL championship game, which we now call Super Bowl I, right?
Yes.
You know it was not called the Super Bowl.
At the time?
The ticket says AFC. Like, that's Super Bowl tickets from 5. Mm-hmm. If you have a ticket from 1, 2, or 3, it says AFL-NFL championship game, right? That's what the game was called, right? Even Super Bowl III was the AFL-NFL. The first one was called the Super Bowl was 4, I believe, or 5. 70 or 71. The Chiefs, Vikings, one of those. I have a media guide from the L.A. Coliseum with everything in it. All the game notes, the Xerox, like the purple, what do they call that? That when we were kids, we would smell the purple, the
scratch and
steno?
Sniff?
No. The Ditto paper.
Oh, yeah.
That would have the purple ink.
Yeah, yeah.
The
Xerox. I know what you're talking about.
Pre-Xerox.
Yeah. Yeah. Dittos.
Dittos, right? And it's all the game notes. It's John's handwriting. It's his quote. It looks like this sheet of paper. It's just a bunch of writing, like, but it's thick, and it has all the post-game notes. And it says on it, the first Super Bowl. But it has the AFL, and it's a media guide that was in the press box that was given to the media. It is the media kit for the AFL-NFL championship game. But Pete Rozelle, and I wish he were alive or somebody that was alive, Pete Rozelle always wanted it to be called the Super Bowl. Mm-hmm. That was his idea. But you won't find anything from Super Bowl I that I think it is the first ever printed item by the league that used the term Super Bowl. Now, when you consider
how much can you get for that? I'm sure it's in a safe deposit
box.
I've
been offered 15, 20, you know, I've been told you'll get 15 or 20 grand in auction. I'm like, when it gets 4 million, we'll talk because it's the first thing that ever had the word Super Bowl on it.
Yeah.
And it's in pristine, and it's got one of those plastic spines on it, white plastic, because it was put together by one of those little machines. And it's a 28 page treatment. You know what it really is? It has the Up With People who did the halftime. It has all of the marching band orders and stuff in it. It was a true media kit.
Sure.
You know?
Yeah, like, and that's the good thing and bad thing about it is that there's nothing to compare it to.
Right.
But because there's nothing to compare it to, if that thing ever did went to auction, there's no telling. You know, realistically, nobody can really put a number on that. You know, somebody offering you something.
Well, I need Ken Golden to tell me that it is the first thing that ever had the word Super Bowl on it.
That's what you need.
Because I promise, it was the first game, and there's nothing else from the game that uses the term Super Bowl on it, other than this media kit, because Pete was trying to get the writers to call it that.
Yeah. Right.
Right? And then obviously now we're a cup of Super Bowl. But that Pete was trying to push that along all along.
Mm-hmm.
And if a guy like John Stedman saw Super Bowl and flew back to Baltimore, by 4 years from now we'll call it that.
Right.
So the word Super Bowl was coined there.
Yep. Well, season 3, I'm going to talk you into doing that. We've been trying to talk you into that for a while. So season 3, we're going to get that on there.
All right. When is season 3?
We don't know yet. Season 2 is going to start.
It's not that I don't want to do it.
I understand. I get it.
I want to do it in the right
sure.
way.
There's a time. There's a time.
15 years ago, it was more like out of respect to John. Now it's more like this is a real – I have a real piece. And I'm not just going to give it – I mean, I believe in what it is. And when someone – validates that I have what I think I have.
Yeah, you've had it for this long. There's no reason to give it away.
I'm not going to give it away.
Yeah,
it's going to buy a house for me if it buys anything.
I totally understand.
You know, I mean, if I get, it's either going to do that or it's going to sit in my closet.
You'll hold it.
I mean, because
season 2 of the show, though, that'll debut sometime between now and opening day.
And my God, if I ever got a house from it, I mean, I would build a wing to John. Everybody knew how much I love John. But I have this thing, and I don't know. I mean, I honestly was willing to lend it to the Pro Football Hall of Fame. You know what I mean? I thought it should be there.
Yeah.
If you're going to tell the history of the Super Bowl, I have the only piece known to mankind that has it on it.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know who else would have it. Maybe Jerry Green, some of the guys that went to those first games, Jerry Eisenberg. I don't know how much of a pack rack those guys were to keep stuff. John wasn't.
Yeah.
John wasn't. That's why it wound up with me, because John didn't want this
and
stuff.
And that's part of the problem. Is you're
I
starting
found
to run
the
out
handwritten
of the guys
letter
the game.
From George Halas to John Stedman that I have in my possession. John just didn't want it. I saw it. I'm like, John, is that the real George Halas? Yeah, that's George's. I don't want that. It's on Bears letterhead. I mean, like... John just gave me this stuff because he just didn't want it.
And what you just described right there is the perfect example of things that members of the media, athletes, the things that they have in their collections that really, quite honestly, don't mean anything to them. But the next person would die for
right.
and spend gobs of money for.
Well, it's like these ticket stubs now. I have so many ticket stubs from back in the day.
Yep.
And they become a thing now. Ticket
really
stubs
do.
Are a thing.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, even more so now because everything's electronic.
It's gone.
So, yeah.
Tell everybody how to get in touch with you, because I want to take a break, and I want to bring Sherry up here and do this Layla's gift. And
You can get
we'll
us.
We'll get back to the real charities instead of the sports in a minute, I promise, you know.
We're located in Lutherville, Maryland, 9 West Ridgely Road. We're open Monday through Friday, 9 to 6, Saturdays, 9 to 4. You can find us on the web, robbiesfirstbase.com. We're also on social media, same thing, Robbie's First Base on Facebook and Instagram. And give us a call at the shop, 410-560-3200.
Thanks for waiting patiently.
Appreciate it.
Robbie Jr., Mike Rosenfeld.
Thank you, gentlemen.
Are you going to stay for the 40th hour and get me to the end, or you got to go?
Can't do it.
You're out of here?
I'd like to say it was something more important than a happy hour with my wife and friends, but I have a happy hour.
She's a breast
coming
cancer survivor. There's a whole charity aspect here.
Yeah. When duty calls.
I hear you.
I've done 3 breast cancers today, so it's your day to go enjoy your wife and go love her up.
I will do it.
And I'm going to take a crab cake home and some soup for my wife. We're at Papasakakisville. 1 hour left. 39 hours. I feel 39 years old, but I'm not anymore. I am Nestor. We're at Papas. Come on by and do some good things right after this.